Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I welcome you to this study. Today we're going to be going back into our study of life and what we've been doing the last couple programs and our recordings. And I hope you've been having a good day and that your family is safe from this virus that's in the world today. And we know that the Lord is in control of everything, and we're not just saying that just to be saying it, because He is. The Lord is in control of it, and He knows exactly what's going on, and the souls and the people that are involved with it, and He knows His purpose in this thing. Now, the enemy could be doing things, but the Lord is in control of the enemy and uses him for His purposes. Even when the enemy thinks that he's doing something on his own and he's getting away with it. But our God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And we can trust in Him. Remember that verse last program? We said that the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And that's Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25. And we are safe when we put our trust in Him and rest in Him. And that's what we should do, brothers and sisters. I mean, who are you going to trust in this world? And who are you going to put your trust in so that you can have peace of mind? The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law. There is no peace in the world. Man, they're burning the world down right now. Don't you know that? I don't know when you're going to be listening to these, but right at this present time that I'm talking, there's groups of people that are burning towns down and rioting. And it's just nuts. And the Lord said in Peter that perilous times shall come, and talking about dangerous times, and these times are getting worse and worse. And you say, well, it's just hard to believe that America could be part of something like that. Yeah, it is. But you are in a generation that is literally watching things change for the worse. Things ain't getting better. They're getting worse. And don't even let nobody lie to you about that, because you have to be a fool to be able to convince yourself that things are getting better. Things are getting better. Oh, it's getting better. Oh, we're all coming together. We're unifying. Yeah, you're unifying. Everybody's burning everybody's house down. Burn houses down. They burned a police station down the other night. And it's just nuts. And you know what it all comes from? It all comes, and you know what I'm about to say, it all comes from turning your back on God. And if God ain't welcome, then if you don't want God, He don't want you. And it's happened. Every age ends in apostasy. All people eventually turn their shoulder to God, and all countries do. Europe did it, and they're just a third world country now. They used to be the top people with the Word of God. That's where the Word of God come from. That's where America come from. Americans ain't nothing but Europeans and Africans and the Orientals and all that over here. And the Roman people, the romantic languages, if you will. But anyway, that's what's wrong with America. America doesn't want God anymore, and the Lord is saying, okay, well, y'all can have it. And He's taking His protection that America doesn't appreciate off of the things, and letting America see what it's like without His protective hand on its own things. And what people really do think about other people. We love. Oh, love. Yeah, Love. Jeremiah says that in a man in his heart speaketh peaceably to his neighbor, or a man with his mouth, with his lips, speaketh peaceably to his neighbor, but in his heart he lieth his weight. Mm-hmm. That's what humanity is really about. Yeah. But we're not talking about all that. We're not part of the world. We're not going to be part of the world. The world is not your battle. Your battle is spiritual. And you are not to be on the world side choosing up races, choosing up groups of minorities, and choosing up this and choosing up that and being part of all that stuff. The Bible doesn't teach you that. The Bible teaches you that you're to be part of the church, because you are. And your concern is supposed to be about the body of Christ and waiting on your Lord to come back. And wait, that's the first priority of a Christian, is waiting on the Lord to come back. And the second thing is taking care of your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, in the church. That is the side that you are to side with, is the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there are no Jews and Gentiles and minorities and races and all that kind of gobbledygook trash. That's the world's business. That's what they like to fight it out. Let them fight it out. Let them fight it out. Let them kill one another. But you, as a born-again Christian, are not supposed to be siding with that kind of trash. You're not supposed to be caught up in all that kind of worldly stuff, because it doesn't amount to anything. It's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back here, and He's going to show everybody what a real leader is when he sits down on David's throne, sits down on that throne and takes his proper and rightful place. He's going to show everybody, and he ain't going to ask no questions about what you think and what your opinion is, and whether you're a minority or whether you're a this or whether you're a that. You're going to do what you're told to do, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron, and you're either going to love peace and love righteousness, or you're going to have a hard time. So, getting into our study today. Hey, get that out there, you know. I mean, that's good stuff, ain't it? That's good stuff. I'm glad we don't have to be with the yoke of the world on us anymore. You don't have to worry about all what's going on out there. Let them fight it out. That's not your battle. That's not your fight. Your fight is spiritual. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the dark, there's spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Your battle is spiritual. Your battle ain't got nothing to do with flesh and blood. They're over there killing one another, shooting one another, stabbing one another, slicing one another up, bombing one another, gassing one another, burning down one another's houses and all this kind of garbage, and just fighting it out. And ain't got one reason in the world for why they're doing it, except that they're human beings and that's their nature. And there's where the real nature comes out. The Lord takes His hand off of the protective part of America, and this is what happens. The only reason it ain't happened before is because God's been long-suffering with America. But He lifting His hand up now and taking His hand of protection off of it, and people just doing what comes natural to them. Their nature, their Adamic nature. Start killing one another, and I'm better than you, and we're better than you, and blabbity, blabbity, blab. But your battle is spiritual, okay? And you're supposed to be on the body of Christ, the church's side. If you want to side with anybody, you side with what you belong to, the church. That's what you're supposed to do. And in the church, there's no Jew and Gentile. There's blacks, whites, grays, pinks, whatever color you are. Nobody can tell you what color of spirit is. Anybody ever told you what color of spirit is or a soul is? I ain't never heard nobody tell me my soul is white. My soul's Oriental. My soul's this. Your soul ain't got a color. Okay? So cut it out. Be in the church, take care of the church, and love the brethren. Love the brethren. Love the brethren. Not the world. And then that ain't your battle out there. Stay out of it. Study to do your own business. And work with your own hands as we have commanded you. It's not, it says study to be quiet and work with your own. Study to be quiet and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. So there we go. Last recording. I'm going to find out a name to say for that. I want to say, program. We talked about, we're on the subject of life, and we're talking about life and what is life? What is life? A lot of different definitions for life. Man defines life a million different ways and thinks life is this and life is that. And then we got into what the Lord and the Scripture says about life. And we started talking about life natural. Life natural. And when we say natural, we're talking about in the body. In the body. Natural life. And we talked about the origin of natural life and where it comes from. We talked about the Bible's description of the shortness of life. Remember that? And that it's as a dream or a shadow. The Bible talks about it as a cloud or a few days or like a flower even that comes up and just shows itself so pretty and so fresh and so brand new and everything else. And then before long, it just fades away. And even the Bible talks about life natural as a vapor and as a tale that's told or a pilgrimage or as the grass even. That's what the Bible says. And it's right, isn't it? It don't take long. I mean, there's one part of the newspaper that parts of the newspaper come and go. And the headings of it, like you might talk about the for sale section, you might talk about the educational section, you might talk about the science section. But one section that's always going to be in the newspaper is the obituary. Always. People die. Life natural. And then it talked about, we went over God's concern for life natural, remember? God is concerned about its preservation. He's concerned about its protection and its provisions and for the punishment of it even. That's something that America could use a little bit of, is punishing all this natural life that's going on around here that's naturally being disobedient and ignorant. The Bible says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are continually in them to do evil, something like that. In other words, because you ain't getting a whooping, you keep on doing wrong. Now, them countries that have corporal punishment or have punishment right out of the courtroom, take them out and give them a few stripes like Paul got. He got 39 stripes, save one, five different times and was innocent. The Jews beat him down five different times. And gave him 39 stripes. He said he bore the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ on him. And he did, if he got beat that many times. That's what? Over what? A couple hundred stripes? But the punishment of natural life. This flesh has to get a whooping or has to have some kind of punishment or some kind of correction for it to stay in line. Your flesh will straighten up right quick when it starts feeling pain. Then we talked about what a believer's attitude toward life natural ought to be. And I think that was the last one that we talked about so far. That a believer's attitude ought to seek to preserve life natural. And that's something that the world's not doing right now. They don't care about life. That's why they're doing what they're doing. Everybody thinks that they're better than everybody else, and they don't care nothing about life. Dope heads making dope and killing people, and people running around burning places down and murdering people and shooting people in the head and little kids. You got a generation coming up now that is nuts. That is nuts. And it's all because of sin going through all the generations and it not being corrected. And it gets worse and worse and worse. But a believer, now remember what we're talking about when we're talking about life. We're talking about what the Bible says the believer's attitude toward life ought to be. Not the world. We know what the world thinks of life. As long as they're getting something out of it and there's a buck in it, then okay, we'll respect your life. But as soon as you become a burden or they have to sacrifice for your life, you're out of there, buddy. You're expendable. Seek to preserve it. Attend to the needs of it. You're to take care of it. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. Accept its sufferings. Some of y'all have a harder life, a natural life, have a harder natural life than others. Some of you have diseases. Some of you have limbs that don't work. Some of you have internal problems or male or female problems that you have to live with daily. And that's called suffering. And we suffer in life natural, in the body, because these bodies are dying and they're going back to the dust. And you have to remember that. But when it comes to suffering, the Bible teaches us that we are to accept it. Accept it. And that's something that, man, I have to get. I'm learning that. I'm telling you, I'm learning that because I don't like suffering. I don't like suffering. But the Bible says that it's through suffering that we get established and settled in the Word. The way that God teaches us to respect His Word, and it's not like He's whipping us with a whip and saying, you will do this and that. He's teaching us gently and teaching us, but He does it through suffering, some sorts of suffering, that we suffer with Christ so that we learn obedience. Learn how to be obedient. And the Bible says that He settles and establishes, us through suffering. Another thing, life natural, that a believer's attitude ought to be is to give it up. Give it up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't try to hang on to your life. Jesus said if you try to hang on to it, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. Because there's nothing that you can get a hold of in this world that's going to help you to live any longer or any better or stop that flesh from getting old and dying every day just a little bit more. There's nothing in this world. You might can extend it a little bit, and what a stinking pain. You go through more suffering trying to save one day of life than you do just living like you're supposed to and believing God. We are to make the kingdom of God first in your natural life, in your life natural. You're to exercise spiritual things with that natural body that you have. You're to use it for spiritual things, the kingdom of God first, and lay it down. And you shouldn't prize it too much. Don't think too much of it. Don't regard it too much. We're to put evil out of it, because evil kills the body. Wickedness kills the body. Ungodliness and unrighteousness kills life natural. People die because of sin. Sin bringeth forth death. We're to praise God in it, and we're to fear the enemy. We're to not fear the enemy, excuse me. You're not to fear anybody that can kill that natural body. Now, that's saying something, and that's you say, well, Brother TV, I don't want to get shot in the head by nobody or stabbed to death or sliced all to pieces. And well, I understand that, and nobody does. But the Lord says that we're supposed to be in such a frame of mind concerning this natural body that it's going to die, and the only thing we're doing is carrying this thing around. And that's the way you have to look at it, because that's the truth. You are inside, back behind the eyes of that thing. You're inside, and your body is fit. Your natural body is fit over your soul. Just like a sheet that would be over you. It's a covering over you. Just like some people, when they get limbs amputated or they get something cut off in wartime, man gets his arm cut off or something like that, he'll sit there and he'll swear that arm is still there because he can still feel it. It is still there. His soul. It's just his flesh that's been cut off. Your soul is shaped just like your body. Your body covers it. So let's move on into this next part of life natural. And that is the cost of caring too much for life natural. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, it says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." The costs of caring too much for life natural. You get so busy trying to care for your life, and the Lord said that He was going to provide all the necessities, the things that you need. He knows what you have need of before you ask. He's going to provide them all, and if you're trusting in Him or have trusted in Him and put your trust in Him, you know He's telling the truth because He always provides for us. The way that we get out of line and get caring too much for our stinking, for this life, for life natural, is that we get greedy. Or we think that we're getting the bad side of the stick or the bad side of the bargain, or if you will, or whatever. Our reward is not here. Our reward is in glory. Our reward's going ahead of us. The Lord gives us all sufficiency in all things. If you're trusting Him, you got no way to say, "I have need of anything," because the Lord fills those needs and fills them faithfully. He has for me. And if you told the truth, what you need to live in the body here on this earth temporarily, the Lord is taking care of your needs, hasn't He? And any kind of problems that you're having is not caused by the Lord. Unless, of course, He's putting you through a test or something like that. But as far as the natural body and the life natural, the Lord takes care of it. He said that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The first thing is that it stunts your spiritual growth. Caring too much about life natural, or caring too much about your body and the life that you have with this body temporarily on this earth, it stunts your spiritual growth. It takes strength away from you spiritually. Now, we're not talking about the necessities of taking care of life natural. We're talking about over abundant care. Care full. Being full of care about your body. And there are people that spend, and I'm not saying that doctor care and health care and all that, but the world just goes way too far about health care and pushing health care, and it's all about money and stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with having health care and taking care of your life natural, but some of it is just so stinking blown out of what it should be, just blown all to pieces. Health here and health here, and what about this? That's getting in way too much, just way too much. There's people that have lived an entire lifetime and not gone to the doctors and not had doctors to go to. I wonder what they did or how they survived without all these doctors and everything. You know, that's why they're called practicing physicians. You know, I even heard the other day, or heard in the past, that when it comes to cancer, that the people that do all the chemo, the doctors that are, I don't know what they're called, but the ones that take care of that part of the body when it has cancer and problems like that, they say that they done a poll on those doctors and asked them, if you developed cancer, would you take chemotherapy and all that kind of stuff? And the most of them answered, no, I would not. They would rather go ahead and die than they would take that chemo. These are the ones that are doing the treatments on everybody else. the cost of caring too much, brothers and sisters, for life natural. Not caring some, but caring too much. It stunts your spiritual growth. It makes you weak in your spirit as far as being spiritually strong. The Bible says in Luke and chapter 8 and verse 14, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." No fruit to perfection. You're not spiritual enough. You've gotten involved with the riches and the pleasures and the lusts and things like that naturally in this natural life. You've gotten so used to all this garbage down here that's temporal and don't mean diddly that you're weak in the spirit so much as that you have so least amount of nutrition spiritually that you can't bring forth any fruit, spiritual fruit, souls, love for the brethren, the cares for spiritual things, encouraging, and giving, and all these things. You're too busy with the cares and caring too much for this life. Now, if that's you, change. Change something. If you're caring too much for this life, quit caring so much for this life because it's temporal. You say, well, I'm supposed to care. Yes, you are. But not too much. They say that there's no such thing as a U-Haul behind a hearse. You can't take it with you. And the Lord is right that it's better to give than it is to receive. And he was talking spiritually because it is. It's harder to give than it is to receive, but it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And give the way the Lord said to give, with simplicity, no strings attached. Give. That's just one part of it. But caring too much. Just caring too much. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34, the Bible says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unaware." You're not supposed to care for the things of this life overly careful. Another thing concerning the cost of caring too much for this life, what it costs you. It not only costs you, it stunts your spiritual growth and makes you unfruitful spiritually. And the churches are full of unfruitful, unspiritual Christians. Why? Because of the caring too much for this life. Too much. And another thing, it divides loyalty. The more you care about this world, and that's one thing, one trick the enemy, the wiles of the devil, the Bible says, the tricks he tries to trick you into. You heard of Wile E. Coyote and the way he used to do the Roadrunner and try to trick him and try to be sneaky. Well, that's exactly what it's talking about, how one of the ways that the enemy tries to come at you. He tries to sneak up and play and use tricks on you and trick you and deceive you. And one of the things he tries to do is to get you so concerned about caring about this life that he tricks you out of your loyalty and your allegiance to your Lord. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Now that's what the Bible says. So the way that the Scripture said it right there, he said, "No servant can serve two masters." It says you're going to love one and hate the other, or you're going to despise one and hold to the other one. So there's no in between. If you're going toward the Lord, you're going away from your loyalty to this life natural. If you're going toward life natural, you're going away from your loyalty to your Lord. As far as caring too much for life, the Lord told us, well, we studied that before. He told us to take care of this body because it's the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost. But caring too much for it is dangerous because it stunts your spiritual growth. It divides your loyalty. There's people that are caught up in this world and not doing anything for the Lord and not loyal to the Lord anymore because they've got caught up in caring too much for this life, for life natural. You're not going to have that body forever, and trust me, when you get a few years on you and on that body and get some wear, like you wear tires away, when you get some wear on that body, you're going to get to the point to where you're not going to be all that interested in having that body anyway. I'm waiting on my new body. And you should too. The Lord said we're going to be changed. We're going to have a body fashioned unto like His glorious body. You're not to care too much because it costs you. It costs you spiritual growth. It costs your loyalty. It strips you of your loyalty for the Lord, caring too much for life natural. It costs you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live for themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." I mean, doesn't that make sense? If Christ gave his life and shed God's blood and didn't deserve it and did it on purpose for you, then it just stands to reason that if we say we're loyal to the Lord and our allegiance is to the Lord, then it ought to look like it when we say it, right? It divides your loyalty. If you care too much for this life, life natural in the body, it costs you. It costs your spiritual growth. It costs your loyalty. And that's not all. It hinders your service and being prepared for the Lord. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5 through 9, it says, "For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything," that's the Jews, "or uncircumcision," that's the Gentiles, "but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." You know where that's going, don't you? You can't have a little bit of leaven in your natural life. If you're born again, you know that you're supposed to be putting out the leaven. Get the leaven out of your life. Because it's going to leaven the whole lump. It's going to hinder your service. And you're not going to be prepared for the Lord when He comes. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, and you know this verse, but it's just as plain and understandable as it can be, and it describes exactly how if we say that we have loyalty and allegiance to our Lord, and one cost of caring too much for life natural, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's not talking to the world, because the world don't think like Christians do. The world does not think like the church does. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, talking to all of us. And what is your bodies? It is your life natural, which is your, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In life natural, in our bodies, what it costs us is it hinders our service, and it hinders us being prepared. The Lord is not interested in us conforming to anything on this earth. We're in the body of Christ, and you know what you're supposed to be turning into? You're supposed to be turning in to transforming, and by the renewing of your mind, and being conformed into the image of Christ. The Holy Ghost is teaching us and changing our thinking so that we will change our behavior and honor the Lord and honor His righteousness in our life and allow His righteousness to live through us, even though we still have these vile bodies. Your soul is not lost. Your soul is saved. Your soul's not part of that wicked body anymore. It was circumcised. It was separated at your new birth. Your bodies, your soul, and your spirit have been circumcised. They've been separated from your body, even though you're still wearing that body. And that body has not changed and become more righteous at all. It's wicked. It's vile. There's no good thing in it. If it got its way, it wouldn't have God in your life at all. The natural life in the body. So see, you're supposed to be in control and transform by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not your will, but God's will. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And if we care too much for life natural, it costs us. It costs us. Another thing is in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, not wrongly dividing it, but rightly dividing it. And that's what we're doing right now. We're going through God's Word, and we're finding out what saith the Lord about things. Not what we think, and not what everybody else thinks, and with God's Word excluded. But we're going strictly by what the Lord says. That's why we're reading all these scriptures as we go down through here, to see if that is indeed what the Lord says. And we're talking about life, and we're talking about life natural, that it costs for caring too much. And that's not all. What else? Well, the control of life natural. Who controls life natural? Now, we have talked about concerning life natural, the origin of life natural. We have talked about the control. We're fixing to talk about the control of life natural. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be... And we've talked about the cost of caring too much for life natural. We talked about what a believer's attitude toward life natural ought to be and God's concern for life natural. And lastly, with this life natural, who controls it? Who's in control of life natural in the body? Well, you say, Brother TV, we all know that's God. No, everybody don't know that. The world doesn't know it. The Bible says they're without excuse. Rephrase that. They do know it, but they won't admit it. The Bible says in Romans they're willingly ignorant. I think that's Romans. So let's talk about the control of life natural. Who has control of it? Well, first of all, it belongs to God. You are not your own. You're bought with a price, the Bible says. But in Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 39, the Bible says, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." It don't get any plainer than that, does it? That's the Lord. When it comes to control of life natural, that ought to answer every bit of it. It says, let me read that again. He says, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." Talking about the control of life natural, that pretty well answered it right there, didn't it? The answer is, it belongs to God. The control of life natural, the life that's in your body is completely belonging to God. It belongs to God. If He wants to kill you, all He's got to do is just think it, and you're dead. You drop to the ground. All He's got to do is reach over and snatch that breath out of you, and down you go. The only reason you can draw a breath is because of the Lord. The Bible says the Lord breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And it's been going on ever since the garden. The only reason you can draw breath is because of the Lord and His grace. In Psalm chapter 22, verse 29, the Bible says, "All they that be fat upon..." Hey, he's talking about... "All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before Him. And none can keep alive his own soul." So you're telling me that you're in control of yourself? That you're in control of your own life? That you got it all together, do you? That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says it belongs to God. And that you can't even keep your own soul alive. You can't keep your body alive. What makes you think your soul? You can keep your soul alive. The Bible says, "Fear not him which after he hath killed hath no more power that he can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." The control of life natural belongs to God. That's not all. The Bible says it is not in man's power. The control of your life natural is not in your power. You can't keep yourself alive. I mean, when you injure yourself, you have to be taken to the hospital so somebody else can keep you alive. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, listen to this, chapter 8 and verse 8, it says, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." When God says it's time, it's time. And you can't get out of it. Open the trap door goes, and into eternity you go. The control of life natural. You can't stop yourself from dying. The only reason that you are alive right now is because of God's choice. It belongs to God. And you do not have power over it. It's not in man's power. And that's not all. The control of life natural is promised by the Lord to them that fear and hope in the Lord. The Lord said, the way that you fear Him and the way that you hope in Him makes a difference in how He thinks about your life natural. Listen to Psalm chapter 33 and verse 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. So it matters to the Lord whether you fear Him and whether you hope in Him. Remember what we read? The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The control of life natural, it belongs to God, and it's not in man's power. And also, it's promised by the Lord to them that fear and hope in Him. That's not all. It's gratefully acknowledged, the Bible says. In Joshua chapter 14 and verse 10, listen to this. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he's, as he said, these 45 years, this is Joshua. He says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He gave the Lord, he acknowledged the Lord and gave the Lord thanks and was grateful that the Lord kept him alive. And that's the way you should feel about your life natural and your life in the body. I know some people that are, I know a precious woman that is 95, going on 96 years old right now, and she's in the home, and her daughter's taking care of her. Her husband was my pastor and one of my mentors, and he died about 73 in 2014, and I was there when he went to be with the Lord, and she's still going. And 96 years old and in the home, and the Lord has not chosen for her to leave yet. And, she's the one that taught me how to worship, what real, true worshiping the Lord is. I was standing in the kitchen with her daughter, and we were standing there talking, and she come walking in there, and I think she was in her late 70s or early 80s right about that time, and she was still walking. And she walked into the kitchen, and I was standing there, and I said, praise the Lord. The Lord has done this and done this and done this. You know what she did? She fell, not fell, but she got down on the floor immediately and got down on her face and thank the Lord right in front of her daughter and me, unashamedly. And that right there taught me how to worship the Lord. I don't know how it did it, but watching her do it and the way that she did it and the thankfulness and the immediate thanking the Lord, and the Lord does things for you to teach you that. Just turn the light on, and there it is, lesson learned. And that's how I learned how to worship the Lord unashamedly. And I do. Unashamedly. And you should too. But gratefully acknowledged, life natural. You give God thanks for the days that you live. The Lord, in the Scriptures, most of the time, you rarely hear the Lord talking about he lived this many years and this many years. I mean, we just got through reading there in Joshua that he said he wandered in the wilderness, and he said, now I'm 85 years old. But the majority of the time in the Scriptures, you hear him talking about age as far as in days, not years. In days. Life natural. We're talking about life. What is life? Now, what have we learned so far about life? What is life? Have we defined it yet? Well, we see that the Bible teaches that there is such thing as life as far as being in the body, and that we have no control over it, and that it costs to care too much for it, and that we can't keep ourselves from dying in this life natural. We've learned that about life, but we haven't defined life. What is life in life natural? What is life? We learned what a believer's attitude ought to be toward life natural, what the Bible teaches us. I mean, the Bible has taught us so much about life natural so far. There is life. But what's the definition of it? We talked about the cost of caring too much about it and the control. Who has control? And finally, when it comes to control, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 50 through 53, the Bible says, now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You see, all that stuff on those sci-fi movies and all that imaginary stuff that the world makes up to entertain you, they don't realize how much truth they're talking about, but it doesn't apply to them yet because they're not born again and they won't accept Jesus. They're going to live after their natural life dies. They're going to stand before the Lord before the Lord puts them in the lake of fire. But the Bible says that this mortal must put on immortality. So whatever life is, it doesn't just apply to this body. It doesn't just stay. It doesn't just, life does not, life natural, even though the body dies, the definition of life does not end there. And whatever life is and is defined as does not cease to be whenever the body dies. Life natural. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14 through 18, this is a sister verse to that 1 Corinthians, it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, and that's why we're doing this study, is to find out what the Lord says, the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That means the ones that have died naturally. The Bible refers to them as being asleep. Now, it's not talking about soul sleep. It's talking about their bodies are asleep. They're in the grave, gone back to the dust. That's the way the Bible refers to them. Now, there's people out there that talk about the soul sleep and all that business. That's not scriptural. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. You ever been up in the clouds other than in a plane? It's going to happen to us. Shall be caught up together. This is the catching away. The rapture is what this is called. Scripturally, it's called caught up together. Caught up, the catching away. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Brothers and sisters, be encouraged, because life does not end when it comes to life natural. There is life naturally. And we have been over that. But we've not yet defined life. Because whatever life is naturally comes to a halt temporarily before the Lord raises us up again, see? So how do you define life? What is life? Have we defined it yet? Are not we glad that the Lord has control over life? We have seen, what happens when man tries to control it, haven't we? Mankind is interested in life, or not, when it makes him a buck. Man's not done one thing in his realm of control that he talks about, how he controls life so much. He's not done one thing in the realm of control to better life for anyone. There's a lots of hypotheses about life, but no power. Man does not have power over life natural. He can't stop himself from dying. He can't stop himself from getting sick. He can't stop this. Only thing he can do is divert it, do a bunch of scientific research and put some things in his body that weren't naturally there to begin with and change it for a little while. That's all. He can't stop. He can't stop it. And he can't keep it from going back to the dust. Man wants to get control of life so bad it's driving him crazy. He never will. God said so. The Lord said, you better get it in your mind that you're going to die naturally, unless the Lord comes. If the Lord comes, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, and we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, because this mortal must put on immortality. No flesh and blood can go before the Lord, because it's rotten. And it's corrupt and it's vile, the Bible calls it. That's why you ought to cover it up. All you people walking around showing off your legs and showing off your upper part of your whatever, and all that low cut and high cut and this and that and the other, you ought to dress like the Lord says to dress and cover yourself up, because the Lord says the human body is vile. That's how come Adam and Eve were ashamed when they were in the garden after they sinned and they found out they was naked. Nakedness is a shame in the Bible. And it takes a man's way of thinking to walk around trying to impress somebody with nakedness. Cover yourself. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not, the Bible says. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. That's in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 33 through 36. The definition of alive, what's the definition of alive? It means possessing life. To be alive means possessing life. Not necessarily controlling it, but possessing it. Possessing life, full of life and spirit, having life and spirit, the opposite of being dead. Now, I got that out of the dictionary. That's all man can come up with as far as a definition of life. Possessing life is life. Full of life and spirit is being alive. Having life and spirit is being alive. The opposite of being dead. But we still haven't defined life. We've talked about life natural, and every bit of it's true. The Bible says it's true. The Bible's taught us about life natural. It taught us about the origin of life natural. It's taught us about the biblical description of the shortness of it. The Bible's taught us about God's concern for life natural. Also, what a believer's attitude toward life natural ought to be. That's a lot of talking about life natural that doesn't exist, because it does exist. Life in natural form does exist. But what is life? The cost of caring too much for life natural, and the control of life natural we talked about, and the scriptures talked about. We've seen it and discussed it and looked in the scriptures. The Bible says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. Talking about life. So let me give you these scriptures for today. That's going to close out our study, or close out the portion of our study on life having to do with life natural. On our next recording, we're going to go into another part of what the Bible talks about concerning life, and that is life eternal. Life eternal. We've seen what the Bible says about life natural, that it is indeed real, that it is indeed life. Who controls it? Where it comes from? Who possesses it? Talked about a lot of it. That it does come to an end. And next, we're going to talk about life eternal and what the Bible says about life eternal. Okay, here's the scriptures for today. Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5 through 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. Psalm chapter 22, verse 29. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. Psalm chapter 33, verse 18 and 19. Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 through 53. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 through 18. And lastly, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33 through 36. And lastly, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, there we go. Good study. Well, have you learned anything yet about life? Of course we have. We've learned quite a bit about life natural and what the Bible says, haven't we? Interesting. But have we defined life yet? What is life? Well, we're going to keep on trying to find out what it is, and we're going to keep on trying to find out what the Bible says it is. We know what the Bible says about life natural now. So next time we come together, we're going to start talking about what the Bible says about life eternal. Okay? So thank you for joining in, and the Lord bless you for honoring Him and honoring His Word. That really matters to the Lord. And He's going to bless you for it. He will. He promised. We have a wonderful Lord, don't we? You keep on serving and keep on saturating your mind and your heart with God's Word. This is Brother Thurman. I'll talk to you soon on the next recording. Bye-bye.